It's good to be in the house of the Lord and to hear the word of God. How are you feeling tonight? Feeling good? Have you had enough to eat this afternoon? Praise God. Thank God for that. So now we're looking at Romans chapter 6, a very interesting book of the Bible. We're looking at Romans chapter 6 from verses 1 to 11. Our sister, I just read that. In April 12th this year, what day would that be? April 12th, I don't know if you can remember. Any idea? Easter, is it Monday? I think it's Easter Sunday. April 12th is Easter Sunday. So we'll be celebrating Easter very soon, a very important event in the Christian calendar. And the scripture she just read now, you could see the Easter message, what happened in Easter. Paul talked about that in a very different way. And I'll use Adam as an example. Adam had a virus. And the moment I mention virus, I know what you're thinking about. I stopped thinking that way. And the name of that virus was what? Sin. And that virus affected the whole of mankind because of one sin from Adam. It has spread so much so that every human being born on this earth has got that virus. And it's what? S-I-N. Sin. Now, in a situation like that, when there's a virus and the scientists are dealing with that, they will take Adam to be patient zero. It started from him. And then they also look for someone who has been infected with that disease or that virus, but someone with antibody who this sin have not had an effect. So in other words, we have someone like Adam who was infected, and praise the Lord, we have Jesus, the second Adam, who by the grace of God dealt with that sin, that virus. And then here Paul is reminding believers of the crucifixion of Jesus. When Jesus, there are many here who haven't been to Golgotha. But from the very day that Jesus was crucified in Golgotha, you, the believer, was also crucified. You have to bear this in mind. Jesus was crucified, and we were crucified with him. The Bible says, according to the scripture she read, and he died. We died with him. And he was raised from the dead. And we, believers, have been raised. In chapter 5, it talks about justification. But we are dealing with chapter 6. Paul is addressing an issue there, because in chapter 5, verse 20, he says that where sin abounds, grace abounds more. More sin, more grace. More sin, more grace. Then Paul realize that many will take this thing out of context, or many will not understand this. And in our time now, there are some Christians that have taken that scripture and they believe that I am a Christian. I can do whatever I want to do, because the more I do it, the more grace abounds. More sin, more grace. But the question, I believe many of you are asking, I know you're thinking now. You are thinking, wow, then what is going on here now? More sin, more grace. You know, sometimes you'll be talking to someone and then you sometimes say to the person that, I know what you are thinking because of something that you say. And then you say to the person, I know what you're thinking. It's like the local vicar will go to his neighborhood and collect empty bottles and all sorts of things and put it in his bin just to clean the area. But the bin man comes. The bin man happens to be a member of his church. He comes here, you know, before they take the recycle bin, many a time they open it. So he opens it and see those empty cans and all sorts of things in there. I know. And he'll say, wow. So our vicar, this is what he's been up to. This boy has been eating, this boy has been drinking and all that. So the vicar sees him and quickly pops out and opens the door and says to Billy, Billy, I know what you're thinking. But that is not so. I made sure that I cleaned the community and put everything in there. So Paul anticipated what his readers will be thinking. So he comes to chapter 6 and he sets the record straight. Now there are dangers of playing the grace card. There are dangers. Why? Because if believers, we are not very careful, we will take everything for granted. Anything goes. I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I want to do. As long as I don't hurt anyone, it's okay. I will do whatever I want to do because Paul says that more sin, more grace. Paul asks the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I said it, but listen to me carefully. And Paul says, no, certainly not. That is not what I mean. Paul here is talking about, you have to look at the tense, he's talking about habitual sin. A believer falls into habitual sin, a particular sin that you stay in there forever. You better think twice. Now that does not mean that we will not sin. As believers, we will sin. And some of us thought something that you said today or you've seen or whatever. Because we still live in this mortal world. Paul addresses this, that yes, we should not continue to sin. We should not take God's grace for granted. And here, as I said, the verb tense of the phrase continue in sin, it makes it clear that Paul describes the practice of habitual sin. In this first part of Romans 6, Paul writes about someone who remains in a lifestyle of sin, thinking that it is acceptable so that grace may abound. Now, the question I want to ask now is, can I say I'm a Christian and live like the devil? Can anybody answer me? Can we say that we are believers and live like the way the world lives? Sadly, some of the lifestyle of believers have driven some unbelievers away. And it's very sad that you are known to be a Christian. You are known to say the hallelujahs. You are known not to miss church. But your lifestyle drives people away. Because they look at you and they don't see the Christ that you profess to follow. More sin, more grace. More sin, more grace. That is not so. Why? Because Paul says that when we died with Christ, we were slaves to sin. Sin tells you, jump, then you jump. Do this, then you do that. Sit, then you sit. It controls your life. But when we died with our sin. And we were raised into a new life. When someone is born again, something happens on the inside that we cannot see. You can't see with the naked eyes. But something happens on the inside. And for the believers gathered here, something has happened to us some time ago, or maybe recently. And that, you can't explain why. Because it's something spiritual. Jesus saw Zacchaeus on the tree and called Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come. Zacchaeus came down. He was not only a tax collector, he was a crook. He was just dodgy. But when Jesus called Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus came to Jesus, Jesus did not even tell Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, you are a sinner. You have done this, you have done that. But something in Jesus hit Zacchaeus. And he said to Jesus, Jesus, if I, those that I've taken money from, I'm ready to give back 4 times, and I'm also ready to give back half of my wealth, why did Zacchaeus say that? Something was happening on the inside. Jesus could see that. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, today, salvation has come
to your home. There was no hope for Zacchaeus as far as he was concerned, because he was ostracized. People hated him. But somehow, Jesus came to the scene. Something happened on the inside. And that's something that happened on the inside. The same thing has happened to us here. That is why we behave different. Our attitude is different. There are things that the world, people of the world will do. And we'll say, sorry, we can't do that. We do get angry, all right. Well, I have to handle it in a godly way. Challenges come, but we always trust our God that he will help us. And he does help. Hallelujah. And he does help. So sin has been crucified. Now we are in charge. It used to be the master. Now we are the master. Hallelujah. So that is why the scriptures we read earlier when it says that Jesus cannot die the second time. Jesus cannot die the second time. He died the first time, and we died with him. He was raised, and we were raised with him. So you are a brand new person. Hallelujah. Amen. And you walk in the newness of the new life. Paul told the Roman church three times, he said, Don't you know? Do you know? These are the fundamental concepts that believers should know. Paul is dealing with concepts that every Christian should know. In verses 3, 6, and 9, he said, don't you know that all of us? It goes on in verse 6, for we know. And it goes on in verse 9, for we know. So Paul, as far as Paul is concerned, he knows that the believers in Rome know this already. They know this, that we know. Don't you know? It's sad when believers don't know. We have to know. That is why we need to study the scriptures diligently. That is the reason why we need to spend time talking to the Father. Don't you know? Don't you know? Remember the story of the road to Emmaus after Jesus had been crucified? The Bible says that two men, after 3 days, were walking. And while they were walking, Jesus came to the scene and walked with them. And Jesus asked them, what is going on here? The first question they asked Jesus is that, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? In other words, don't you know? Jesus, don't you know that there's a man called Jesus, a good man. He did nothing wrong. And they crucified him. But you see, the problem is, we were told that we thought he was coming to save Israel. We were also told that he will be raised on the third day. But they told Jesus, don't you know? Now Jesus goes back and asks them, don't you know? Have you not read the scriptures? Jesus asked them, have you not read the scriptures? That was when Jesus followed them. They went home. They broke bread and they saw Jesus. And they vanished from their sight. So brothers and sisters, Edmonton Baptist Church, it's important that we know the word of God. It's important that we know our stand in God. It is very important that you know who you are as a child of God. We have to know who we are in Christ. And we also have to know who Christ is in us. And we have to know who Christ is when we come together. When we come together, Christ in us, we in Christ, and then who we are together. So that when challenges come, when Pastor Steve is not there, when the church is not there, when challenges come and you go through those challenges, and the devil tries to isolate you, isolation has become a big word now. The work that I do, when we say that we have isolation, it means that the 25,000 volts power has been taken off. So when you say we have isolation, it means that you can go and work on the overhead. The 25,000 volts is off. But that word is now on the news. Isolation. Isolate. The enemy will try to isolate you. And when he isolates you, then he begins to bombard your mind with a lot of lies, and he's so clever that he will make it in such a way that some of those lies will begin to feel real, will feel true, and he will begin to give you evidence. But you see, you already have the word. Don't you know? 3 times he asked the church in Rome, don't you know? We have to know our stand in Christ. We have to know that we've been crucified with Christ. Sin has been crucified. We are no longer slaves to sin. Sin cannot order us all over the place. Some of us, when we used to be in the world, there were things that we used to do that some of us, we are even ashamed to talk about it. But now we are in Christ. Now we know. Forgetting all those things behind and moving forward. Knowing that God is with us. You have to know. Otherwise, the devil will let you know. He will come with his lies and bombard your mind. The mind is the battlefield. The mind is under pressure. The mind is going through all sorts of things. Jesus is able to give us peace of mind. Hallelujah. He's able. That is the God that we serve. Don't you know? Paul tells them. Hallelujah. Jesus told this too. He said, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The prophets have spoken, they knew that. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 to 16 says that, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Let's study the word. Hallelujah. But then, don't sit here and say that, oh, then what he's saying, now I know what you're thinking. For you to go here and say that Seth said, we shouldn't sin. Yes, I said that. But I also want to say to you that because we are humans living in this flesh, we will. But God has given us a solution. And the solution is in 1 John 1 verse 8 to 9. It says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One sister from this church said she packed a wood grain for just about, not even after a minute. She ran into the shop. She came out and she saw a ticket. My ticket was right there. She had a ticket for less than a minute. She said, you know what I did? I cursed this ticket attendant. I cursed him. I said this and I said that and I said everything. He said the moment she finished, she could feel something saying to her that, what have you done? And then straight away she said, oh God. So I said, sister, have you spoken to the Father about this? She said, yeah. I said, that's it. That's it. Sin will drag you, a believer. If you are not in control, then you know that you are living a habitual kind of lifestyle sin. One brother that used to come to this church, he said he found himself in a situation where, before he realized, married, but went and slept with someone's wife. I know what you are thinking now. You want to know the person. I know what you are thinking. But you know what? He said, the moment it happened and I came out of the house, I just could feel that this is not right. And do you know what he did? He met a man at the bus stop. And somebody was at the bus stop waiting for the bus. And he went to the man and said, I have sinned. The man said, what are you getting? What are you on about? What's wrong with you? He said, I have sinned. That is what we call conviction. The Spirit of the Lord has convicted him. And he has accepted his mistake. And he's known that, yes, what I've done is wrong. I said, brother, you better stop. That's it. Stop and stop and stop now. Jesus, the woman who was caught in adultery, when this Jesus said, "Yes, woman, I have nothing against you," Jesus said to her, "Go and do what? Sin no more." That does not mean that she's going to be perfect. She will sin. But don't live in that sin. Don't let that sin control you. Hallelujah. The man that sat by the well, the Bible says that after he was healed, he followed Jesus. Jesus said, "Go. Go to your people. Don't follow me." And Jesus, when Jesus met him in the temple, he said, "Stop sinning or something worse will happen to you." Check the scriptures. I'm not going to mention the scripture. I want you to go home and do your work. In other words, go home and then begin to study the scriptures diligently. Don't you know? Yes, we know. We are living in the grace of God. And we pray that it will impact our lives. If the grace of God does not impact our lives, people will not see the difference. And the enemy will always accuse us. And I met this man the other day who believes that. He said, "I'm scared of God." Yes, we have to. We have this reverential fear for God. But he was so full of fear that he thinks that any mistake, God is going to hit him. Why? This man has not studied the Bible well. We have come out of what Paul is saying. We were slaves to sin. And by the grace of God, we've been crucified with Christ and it's been dealt with. But you know what? It's like, I don't know whether you've heard Stockholm Syndrome. It was 1973, it was something that was coined, and it's called the Stockholm Syndrome. A guy went to rob a bank. And when he went there to rob the bank, he couldn't get the money out. And he got maybe trapped in there with some of the workers, four workers. And it so happened that he spent about 5 to 6 days in there. And the captor and the victims, they became friends. And somehow it's like even falling in love. Somebody fell in love with this man. Somebody has come to rob the bank. It's in there with you. And you know your life is in danger. One of the girls said, "Oh, I know I was shaking." And then he helped me. I was doing this, and he did this, and he did that. So this Stockholm Syndrome, in effect, it means that the captor and the captives were bonded. So when the government decided to come and then rescue them, those who have been abducted or the victims said to the government that we don't need any help. Leave us alone. We are all right. Go home and check. Stockholm Syndrome. And when the guy was later on arrested and was taken to court, some of them defended him. Some believers are like that. We have been, what? We have come this far. The Lord has delivered us from the power of sin. But some of us are still, what? Sitting in it. It's like you're a child of yours. It's involved with someone, a man or a woman. And then your child is being abused. Then you know that your child is being abused. And then you do everything to get your child back out of the relationship. Begin to praise God. The following week, what happens? You go back. And then you say to yourself, what is the point? It means taking 5 days off work. Doing everything. Giving you the best counseling. Doing everything for you. And then you've gone back. And then he tells mommy, "Oh, mommy, you don't know I love him." But you're being abused. My prayer is that this Stockholm Syndrome will never happen to any of us. In the name of Jesus. That we will be wise. Our children will be wise. Because I believe that this very criminal said something to them and convinced them. And they believed a lie. Let's walk in the newness of Christ, brothers and sisters. In verse 4, it talks about the illustration of the believer's death to sin, baptism. Or do you not know that many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? We were baptized into his death. Water baptism is being what? Being baptized into Christ is a dramatization or acting out of the believer's immersion or identification with Jesus in his death and resurrection. And in conclusion, verse 11. It says that, so a Christian should remember the meaning of this, of his baptism. He died with Christ and rose again with Christ. So that Christian will have a new attitude to the way that he lives. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, the Bible says that he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, everything is new. We are new in Christ. All things have passed away. In Galatians 2 verse 19 says that, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. This is Paul to the church in Galatia. He goes on further to the church in Colossae. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. And in 2 Timothy 2 verse 11 says that, here is a trustworthy saying, if we die with him, we will also live with him. You see, Paul kept repeating this again and again. We die with him, we are raised with him. We die with him, we are raised with him. Remember that. We did not die and we're kept there. We've been raised to a new life. Now, for those, it's good, yes, we have to preach grace. By the grace of God, we've been saved. Amen? It's by the grace of God. But Paul is saying here that if we begin to think that because that when we sin, there'll be more grace, then we are deceiving ourselves. Now, this same Paul told the church in Ephesus. He says that, follow Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. Follow God's example, therefore, as newly beloved, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Verse 3, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Look at verse 5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing, verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. This is where we have the problem. Paul says that you should expose them. We will do it in a godly way. Because a brother or sister is living in sin, you don't tell them. And they believe that by the grace of God, you're all right. In fact, it's got to a point where some people can say that, I know God will forgive me. I'll make sure that I do this and do that. They'll say it before. When I meet him, I'm going to do this and that because I know God will forgive me. So for them, as far as they are concerned, anything goes and then God will forgive me. Paul is saying that we should rethink. Sin's presence was not defeated, as I said, but its powers was defeated. No longer are we slaves to sin. By the grace of God, we know, you and I know, that we are children of God. Amen? We also know that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen? We also know that he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? We also know that no matter what comes our way, Jesus will be there for us. Amen? We also know that no weapon formed or fashioned against us shall stand. We also know from Scripture that we shall be the head, but what? Not the tail. We also know that he loves us. That is how we are able to sing confidently. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. How did you know? Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible
tells me so.
Now, this songwriter, and for all those that sing this song, they know from scripture, they know that Jesus loves them. So this week, this coming week, with the pressure and the challenges and coronavirus, you open the telly and it's just, it comes straight. It's like the virus is coming to your bedroom. And I know that we have to be concerned. But let's trust Jesus. Let's put our faith in Jesus. That he has dealt with the bigger virus, the virus of sin, and he has set us free. He can deal with this situation. He's faithful. He never fails. So don't let coronavirus put fear in you so much so that you are not eating well, you are not sleeping well. Some of you are not eating well. The moment you hear coronavirus, you jump. By the grace of God, let's do what we have to do practically. And let's trust God and pray that he will look after us. Now, do you know that you are a child of God? Do you know that you are a child of God? Do you know that he will never leave you nor forsake you? Do you know that he'll be there for you? Do you know that he never fails? The Bible says that. Take it. This is your takeaway scripture. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That is your position spiritually. Amen? Amen. Have a good night.